This is 30 Minutes with GSW, a weekly podcast from Benga Samu Wemimo Ministry International. May your hearts receive the engrafted Word of God and your walk deepened with the Holy Spirit as you listen.
Hello, everybody. Happy Easter to every one of us. I'm happy to celebrate Christ in us. Christ in us, the manifestation of glory. Easter is the most beautiful of all the celebrations that we have in Christendom. It is the most solemn, and yet it is the most significant. You see, a lot heed to Christmas. We consider it the bigger celebration. And it is indeed a great celebration. The entrance of divinity into the realm of humanity. But you see, Easter is the birth of the sons of God. The coming out of the death of Jesus transformed everything. This morning I'll be speaking briefly on the topic manifesting His glory. Manifesting His glory. You see, there are two types of Christians. There are the initiate, and then there are the nepios, the baby Christians. Being an initiate Christian, being a matured Christian, somebody that has been brought into the light, deliberately forged to understand his role or our role in Christ. Being that kind of an initiate Christian is the best thing that can happen to you as a believer. Being a docile Christian is okay, but you cannot manifest His glory. You cannot be a firebrand. You cannot be a deciding factor if you are not an initiate. Many of us want to manifest the glory of God. We desire to. But the problem that most of us have, I've seen it. This last week again, it was demonstrated to me. Is that we leave everything to chance and live our life normally. Normally, we just go to church. We are growing in knowledge, but we are not practicing. We will go to church and listen to sermons. I once had the privilege of being in the library of a Christian brother when he was about 68 years old. He had a library full of good, solid Christian books. Books I've been buying since the 80s. His, jotter that he takes to church to write down sermons. He had over 100 absolutely, completely filled up jotters that I've been using to take down sermon notes since he became born again in the 80s. And by the time I met this man, he was still as unlearned in the things of the Spirit as if he just got born again yesterday. Does that not puzzle you? If somebody goes to the university and studies for 4 years, he or she is expected to graduate with knowledge. Some people, 3 years, they will have graduated with knowledge. I know somebody who did this master's in 2 years. And he was considered an erudite scholar. He was honored and he was greatly cherished by his department, celebrated even. But you see a 40-year Christian who is not better in knowledge, in wisdom, in understanding, in dispensing the verities of the gospel, has is no better than the day he became born again. Even though he's a member of a church, even though He has learned all the church doctrines. He knows how to dress like a Christian, knows how to walk like a Christian, knows how to talk like a Christian, until it gets to the point where manifesting the glory of a Christian comes, and then this person is helpless. So the 68-year-old man invited me and said I should come to his house, because at that time I was a commissioned writer. You would call me and then you can tell me what you want to turn into a book. You can sit down and tell me a story, or you can, I will record it in a midget, and then I'll go back home and then I'll write a book for you. I used to do that some years back. And so he wanted to tell me his Christian journey. He wanted to at least write one book before he dies. One book. And he had been thinking about how to write the book for years. He didn't know how. Then he heard about me, and then he called and he said, please come. I want to tell you my Christian journey, so that you can write it down and I will publish it. And maybe on my 70th birthday, I will do a book launch as part of the celebration for my birthday. I was excited. Why? Because I wanted to hear. I love to hear the stories of those who have grown in faith. Those who have gone ahead of me. I wanted to hear their experiences. I love to hear it. I remember sitting at the feet of Sister Ayoma Isong's daddy, Agumanu. I sat at his feet and he was telling me stories of his Christian journey. I loved it. I remember details of it till tomorrow. One day I'm going to write it when it is properly cooked in my consciousness. When all the pieces are together, I'll just wake up one day and then I'll write it. But I can never forget some of those things we talked about when he was in the Biafran army, when he was in the north, when he adopted. I will never forget. So this man, again, was going to tell me the story of his Christian walk. And he said to me, when I wanted to marry my wife, I wrote the name of my three girlfriends in three different pieces of paper. I wrote them individually. Then I took the three, I put it in my hand, as if somebody wanted to throw a dice. And then I threw them down. And then I picked one. And when I opened it, I saw that name was the one I was going to marry. He said, that was how the Holy Spirit chose wife for me. I said, wow. I was supposed to come and learn about Christ. I was supposed to learn about the growth of this man in his walk with God. He said, when I was going to get a job, I could have worked in either Afribank at the time, or Savannah Bank, or Wema Bank. He said, the three of them offered me jobs. I wrote the name of the three banks on a piece of paper each. I rolled it. I threw it on the floor. I picked one, and that was the one I went to work with. I said, wow. He said, you can see how the Holy Spirit has been helping me. The Holy Spirit has been helping me. I kept quiet. Because, so far, that Urim and Turim system worked for him. He was gambling it. He said, when I was going to have my first child, I wrote boy, girl on the paper. And then I wrote twins, making three. I wrote on the sheet of paper. I threw it on the floor. I picked girl. So I knew that I was going to have a daughter. He said, when my wife was pregnant, I told my wife, you are going to have a girl. You are going to have a girl. Said, but when she was going to deliver the baby, it was a stillbirth. The baby died. I said, sir, you didn't roll on a sheet of paper, living, dead, or stillbirth. You didn't do that. You didn't try to ask God. You just assumed that the baby would live. He said, well, I expected that I will have, when God said it's a girl child, I expected that the baby, I didn't expect that the baby can die, but the baby died. And that was when I knew that enemies have started entering into my life. So I blocked my mother, because my mother was with us at that time. In fact, 2 days to the time I went, my friend to labor, my mother was staying with us. But when that happened, I knew that this is work of enemy. So I stopped talking to my mother. I packed her up to the village. And then I started just sending her little money at the end of the month, because she must be the one. I said, then I've got pregnant again. And then I did boy, girl, twins. And this time around, I pick girl. And when we delivered this baby, baby was sickle seller, SS. And I began to spend money. And then I realized that enemy has entered the matter. So all my wife's friends, I plugged them out. Ha! I said, sir, this is not a Christian journey you are telling me. This is not how the life of a Christian should be. You see, this is how the life of an ignorant person who is trying so hard to pretend he knows what he doesn't know, this is how that life, the life of that person is. Ignorance makes us assume that we have the kind of knowledge that we do not have. The ignorant people are the loudest. You see them on social media, they're typing on keyboard, they have no knowledge. They have no idea what they are talking about. But they must talk. Ignorance likes to talk. Wisdom likes to be quiet. Ignorance likes to talk. Because the more ignorance speaks, the more it fills the space with static, with what we call white noise. In journalism, we call it white noise. The kind of noise that we call a babble. The ignorant likes to do that. Sometimes their whole life is full of white noise. Their whole life. There was no definite mark. Nothing to show for it. Their life is not different from the life of somebody who doesn't know God at all. In fact, some of them, if they had remained in darkness, they would have had a better life. They are coming into the light and yet not growing in knowledge. They couldn't manifest. They couldn't manifest. I didn't write the man's story. Because by the time we would get to 1 hour of listening to him, we are already fighting. Because I couldn't imagine myself writing such a book. Even though it won't bear my name. It would be misleading many Christians in the future. If anybody should read it and begins to practice what the man did, the person is destined for failure. So, I couldn't write the man's story. When the man turned 70, he couldn't launch a book. He invited me for the occasion. He turned 70. I went for the event. At the event, another person, his younger sister, now and then was like 67 years old, was at the event. The woman came up to speak. The woman began to speak of how she began to walk with God since she was a teenager, and her exploits of faith. Her exploits of faith. Untaught, unlearned, raised in a white garment church, began to notice that she could do certain things through the help of the Holy Spirit. She could have strong premonitions of things to come. She could sleep and the voice of the Lord would speak to her. So she began to read the Bible to have clarity. She gave her life to Jesus Christ in her own bedroom without anybody leading her to Christ. She began to speak in tongues in her own bedroom without anybody leading her to Christ. She married a Muslim because her father insisted, because the Muslim man was rich and wanted to marry her, and the man paid a hefty sum. So the father allowed it. And even though she was under the roof of a Muslim, she continued working in her faith, helping those who are in need, healing the sick, This woman spoke for about 20 minutes, and I said to myself, my God, this woman whose husband denied the opportunity to go to church demonstrated Christ in a world much more than the brother who had been in church, who had all the books, who had jotters, who had sat under the ministration of many men of God, but couldn't demonstrate faith. Didn't have the openness of mind to learn faith. Didn't have the understanding to show Christ to the world. And every believer falls into either of these categories. You either fall into the category of those who can demonstrate faith, or you fall into the category of those who cannot. It is either you are going to be among those who will be running after pastors and be saying, pray for me, pray for me, pray for me. Or you will be among those who will be praying for others and be demonstrating the realities of Christ in their life. It is either you are discipling nations or you have been discipled for 40 years. It is you who would be in one of the categories. It is either you are a doer of the word or you are a hearer of the word. And Jesus Christ said clearly, he said, if you love me, you will do what I have told you. He said, do not be hearers of the word only, but be doers. We have a lot of hearers. There are those who hear with one ear, who come to church and they don't even bother hearing. They sit down, they are looking at you, they dress well, but they have other things in their mind. You can never see the word of God manifesting or living or being lived out in their reality. As we celebrate the death and the resurrection of Jesus today, my one desire is to see the church of initiates, where we will no longer be babies, tossed here and there by winds of doctrine, where the death of Jesus and his resurrection will birth in us a new reality where we will see him as he is and we will become what we see. A church where miracles will be a commonplace, where everybody can work a miracle. A church where our attention will move from self to the world. We will stop looking at ourselves. God, pray for me. My life is not good. My life is not, no. We'll begin to look outward and we'll become the blessing that we have been destined to be in Christ. A church where you will no longer be a layman, where everybody will indeed be priests and prophets of our God. This is the church Jesus died for, not a church that is hoping for glory, a church that is manifesting glory. This is the church that we are celebrating in this century. For if we do not celebrate and move to this level of church, we will see that the world as we engineered its palace, language, dicta, and dogma. The whole world, the landscape of the world is changing. They have changed the language. They have changed the gender. They have changed the mindset. They have changed the thinking. They are now using the word identifying as. Do you know that by doing that, coloring people's identity, for you to identify as a Christian will just be another identity, another label. So if somebody says, I'm a Christian, say, you identify as a Christian, identify as a dog, this one identify as a cat. Can you see that they are deliberately, because this is the agenda of the cultists that are of darkness, trying to socially engineer the world against the gospel, changing their thinking, making them think even in the basic terms that they are not even human. They are telling people, it is good for you to think you are a cat. It's good for you to think you are a dog. It's good for you to think you are a deer. It's good for you to think you are a goat. Why? So that the Bible said that because they did not consider God in their reality, he subjected them to reprobate mind. They began to see themselves as lesser than they are. This is what the world has weaponized and is doing to people that are in it. Meanwhile, you have a duty to rescue them, not only from their false identity. First, you will restore them back to their human consciousness. Then you will bring that human conscious man or woman into Christ. They've made the work a bit deeper, and a bit more difficult. And this is because Christians are identifying as human beings. You see, I don't identify as a human being. I don't. I'm not. I've never been one. From the day I became a born-again Christian, I became Homo Christos. I was no longer Homo sapiens. I became child of Christ, Christ kind. Just like we say mankind, I became a Christ kind. So I identify as Christ. Because I identify as Christ, everything Christ can do, I believe so much in my heart that I can do. And I do. I do not just believe, I push to do. And the same thing must become your consciousness. You must begin to push to do the things that are in the manifestation of what you identify. Those who identify as a cat, I've read their stories. They are behaving like cats. A man who identifies as a woman is dressing like a woman. They are not ashamed to behave as they identify. There was a man that identified as a deer. He went to paint his body, went into the forest. Because if somebody was hunting, so many people have seen it on the internet, somebody took a gun and shot him. The man saw a deer because the man, now they shot him and they took him to the hospital. And then when he got to the hospital, they said, oh, he identifies as a deer. They said, you should take him to a vet. Somebody said, oh, he's a human being. They said, oh, but he's identified as a deer. Why are you taking him to a human being? And the man was at the shot. And I was just laughing when I was reading the ridiculousness of these things. Why? Because those who identify as animals are behaving like animals. And yet, those who identify as Christ are not behaving like Christ. They are not manifesting Christ. The power of the resurrection of Jesus is at work in you. You see, you are not just an ordinary Christian anymore. You are not just like a mere man. No. The power of Christ is a different kind of power. When it comes upon you, you see it. If I listen to those who are singing, listen, if you listen to 10 gospel musicians, if you see the ones that had encountered the manifest glory of Christ, when they begin to sing, immediately your heart will leap. When you see those who are just singing for fun, when they begin to dance, you can be dancing. You just be dancing. You can just be, you know, when I was growing up in the Baptist church, there are some songs we call Omidaraya. I don't know how to put it in English. There are songs that you use for entertainment songs. They will then you come and sing, they will put it in the program. 10 minutes, Omidaraya, tongue to move body or to move your legs. So that if elders are sleeping off or still, because that's a little to wake up. But there are songs for worship. There are songs for thanksgiving, and there are songs of the Spirit. When you hear songs of the Spirit, your spirit is fed. When you hear tongues of the Spirit, you know there are people that are speaking tongues of the flesh. You will know. When you see a Christian who is manifesting Christ, you will know. And you must begin to think in that light. No matter what your profession, banker, lawyer, businessman, you have a shop here, you have a shop there. The number one thing that stops us from manifesting Christ is because we are all always looking at self. Everybody's first thing is, their first thought is themselves. Ah, my business. Ah, I just want somebody to pray for me. So my business can move to the next level. Oh, my leg. Oh, my clothes. Oh, my shoes. Oh, my money. Oh, I'm owing debt. I am me. All those who do that all the time, they cannot manifest Christ. But Christ is not their consciousness. Christ is not their consciousness. A man or woman who will manifest Christ the very first thing that comes out of his consciousness itself, he has been crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, he or she lives. Yet not him or her, but Christ that lives in him or her. It is that Christ that he begins to manifest, to identify us. And then the rewards of being Christ automatically will follow. Let me say that again. Being Christ then means you can just be encountering testimonies and miracles anyhow. I mean, anyhow. You know, sometimes, years ago, I would pray. Days I will pray just for to be, I will be ministering on Sunday. I will pray for 1 month so that I can preach for 1 hour on the Sunday my senior pastor will give me. It was so frustrating and there was no result. Now, to go to a public place and sit there for a few minutes, if a testimony does not erupt immediately, it will erupt as soon as possible. Why? Because the consciousness that I had changed. My focus moved from self to Christ. When I'm praying in the Spirit, I'm praying as Christ, the way he prayed. Jesus Christ said, when he was praying for us in the book of John 14, 15, 16, actually 17, he said, the glory that you gave me from the beginning, he was talking about the glory of God himself. He said, that glory I give to them. So Jesus, when he was praying here, he wasn't one of those that say, Father, bring down your glory. That was not bring down your glory. He was conscious that he was giving glory from the beginning. And that it was that glory that he was manifesting to the world that has transformed the world. That has made this ministry so unique and special that everybody agreed that there has never been a ministry as special, as important, as extraordinary as the ministry of Jesus till now. It was the first of our kind. Every other minister, every other prophet that came before him, none of them were able to supplant, surpass, or see the lead a precedent for his ministry. Why was his ministry like that? It was because he knew that there was glory in him and that God has given him all of his glory and that he just needed to show for that glory. Do you know there is glory in you? Or are you still praying for glory? Do you know that Christ in you is a manifestation of his glory? Do you know that you have every right to manifest that glory? Do you know that because he prayed for you in John 17 and he said he has given you that glory, that no man can take that glory from you? Do you know that? No, if you now know that, are you walking in his consciousness? Are you deliberate about dispensing the miraculous? When you wear your clothes and you come back, do you act as if your clothes are anointed? Or you just throw them in the washer? Oh, I know my clothes are anointed. I know my shoes are anointed. I know everything I put on my body. I developed the consciousness of that years ago. I decided by myself to be saying to myself the things Jesus Christ said about himself, because he actually told us that everything that he was, that we have become, and that even now we are elevated one more step higher, that we are seated with him in heavenly places. The consciousness of the reality of Christ must be in every believer. This is the only way we can truly celebrate Easter. Being initiates, being knowledgeable, being manifestors of his glory and his grace. It must be deliberate. It must be so deliberate that every day you must look out for somebody to say, glory to God. That I look, that, those are the things I look forward to every day. When I take my phone, I'm on the lookout for somebody sharing a testimony. Somebody saying, thank you, Jesus. Somebody saying, but I mean, guys, it's done. Oh, the baby has come. Yesterday, we had 3 babies in the ministry. The baby has come. At another point, somebody saying, God, thank you. That job is here. Oh, glory. Those are the moments that I live for. Why? Because they testify of Christ in me. They testify of Christ. If I don't see them, I don't feel as if I've done Christ that day. This is the consciousness you must begin to develop. As you go out to your churches today on this special Easter occasion, I declare that you manifest Christ vividly, evidently. That you are not the kind of Christian who people preach to or preach at. You are the kind of Christian whose life and reality reflects the fullness of Christ without measure. Your life is not a life of ups and downs. No, your life is a life of glory. That glory is contagious and it affects everyone around you by the power of the Holy Spirit in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father, for this word is faithful and true in the life of all your children. And in this new season of Easter, as we go into this new year, I declare it that they are Christ and they manifest Christ effortlessly in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father, for this is done. For in Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen. Let somebody shout, glory!
Glory to God. We trust you've been blessed by the Spirit-inspired words. Do come back for more episodes. You can also visit the ministry website at www.gs.com.